Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
And welcome to Friday morning. The steakhouse is open. The Odyssey app is cranking. I gotta get my mind right. I mean, that was not the thing to start watching right before the show. Enough already with the sorority launching. Like these things.
The choreography, the planning.
These are synchronization. These are mini films.
The outfits.
Is something like, I mean, it, you know.
The spray tans.
Yes.
The diets.
If you don't, you don't know what I'm talking about. So there's a whole thing now with sororities welcoming you to campus. And it's all now video, like everything else. And I'm in the video content world, obviously, with the company that, you know, I founded, Bread and Butter. So I understand content. And it was only a matter of time before these sorority launches turn into massive video production.
I mean, these chicks are like swinging off the roofs of these sorority mansions.
Do you see the fake helicopters and private planes? And they're like that. A helicopter landed on their front lawn, and then they get out and they use.
So does that matter in the recruitment process? Are girls, freshman girls, incoming freshmen who are rushing a sorority? Do they scout these videos and they're like, hey, I like this dance choreography.
I like their outfits.
Yeah, it's a
cool
factor.
It's like a cool factor.
So
look at these girls.
Qualify or disqualify certain sororities based on the dances that they're putting on TikTok?
It's not the dances, dude. It's the vibe, right?
Okay.
So there's the thing about video, they say, which is either when you watch something, you either aspire towards what you're watching or you can see yourself as them. Like, if those look like my people, or I aspire to have that.
What do they always say? Dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Right. So in this case, you know, it's like, wow, those girls are cool. Or look at the
And this is like a this
attention.
Is relatively new in the last 5 or so years.
100%.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it like it is this year. So it's been new. You know, it's the famous Dallas Cowboy dance when they come out.
Right.
You know, what's that called? Thunderstruck,
I think it is. Yes.
So that's been going on. But now it's like, we're going to ramp it up. We're going to do multiple choreography. We're going to splice in, like, they're doing mini skits. So there's an homage to Clueless, or there's an homage to Gossip Girl, or there's an homage to, like, USA, that we're an all-American sorority. So you've got these kids in the Northeast looking, going like, What the hell is going on down there? What am I doing here in the middle of Burlington, Vermont? All due respect, with that those young ladies, and I don't want to get back into what I said yesterday, which is that the worst looking girl at Ole Miss is Miss New Hampshire. Did you hear me say that to Mike
Johnson? She's in New Hampshire 8.5.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The worst looking girl at Ole Miss.
But to your point, I think one of them had an homage to like NASCAR or something.
Yeah.
And those girls up north might not even know what NASCAR is.
But they're just theming these things.
Of course.
And I hope this is not too much inside radio, but it is fascinating. As we get into the football season, as we get into the Southern cultures.
Surely there's a dad listening whose daughter is going into Rush. Do you have any intel?
Well, you know how. Yeah.
I want to know, like, are you...
And dads, by the way, watching these, like, you know, I get a little uncomfortable. What's the James Franklin cut we have?
You're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're making me a little uncomfortable. Like, I mean, these are...
You're making me uncomfortable. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I should be watching them, right? These are like, it's just... And they're out there for a reason. The audience ain't just 18-year-old girls, I promise you that.
So is it a 48-hour planning period? Has this been being planned since June?
Oh, I want to know.
Oh,
weeks.
Okay, I want to know.
And there's so much dirty rushing going on. Like, there's a ton of kids in Atlanta. You understand they spend the summers fraternities? That there's a group of high school kids here at an Auburn fraternity in Georgia that are already pledges.
That's been happening for a long time.
That has been.
Yes. I think more so on the fraternity side.
Yeah, my daughter was just like, oh, yeah, those boys couldn't come tonight because they're getting hazed or whatever. Yeah. It's like, they're not even in college. Why are they getting hazed? Like, well, because they're going to be down there. So the current members who live in Atlanta are hazing the ones they know they're going
to
be rushing.
It's funny because when I joined the steakhouse, I got hazed as well. Yeah, Steak took horribly. Me to Chops, and he said, you have to eat this wedge salad.
Yes.
You have to have this martini.
I said,
you must eat this bone-in ribeye, and then you have to have a glass of Cabernet. And I said, do I really?
Yeah, I know. It's a tough process. Anyways, sorry to get into the weeds there, but we were just chatting before we got on the air about a number of things. Let's just talk about this. I think it's going to spark phone calls, and we can get him and then come back and talk about it. But first thing you said to me, I saw you down at Starbucks, is, I don't know, Brock Bowers on the field right out of the gate for the Raiders, right, with
Geno Smith, that quarterback. You know, I'm flipping around NFL Network last night. I see Joe Burrow chucking the ball down the field to Ja'Marr Chase and a lot of starters on the field.
Was 10 of 11. So he didn't just play.
He was 9 of 10 for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase, all pro, 4 receptions, 77 yards, and 1 touchdown. Burrow was on the field for 15 plays. It was his third career preseason start. Pete Carroll's the new head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders. His starting quarterback, Geno Smith. His top 10 pick, Ashton Jeanty. All pro tight end, Brock Bowers, all on the field. You know, I get that Raheem Morris and the Atlanta Falcons have a philosophy of we're not going to play our starters in preseason, and that's totally fine. It's up and down across the NFL for all 32 teams. But for me, when I see the Bengals trotting out their entire first-team offense for more than one drive, I would assume that head coach Zach Taylor went to his guys at the beginning of training camp and said, hey, guess what? For the last 3 years, we've had horrible starts to the regular season. We're always chasing our tail in November and December. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to get meaningful reps in preseason, and we're going to hit the ground running week one.
I don't think it's perfectly fine. So I know you're saying, you know, he's just staying with his philosophy.
Right.
And my notion would be, well, it's a bad philosophy because Kirk Cousins got on the field against the Steelers and looked like a guy that hadn't taken a snap. And of course he would have benefited from trying to stretch it out a little bit and figure out what his limitations was. He admitted, like, out of the gate, you know, it took some time to feel like he was a football player again. Michael Penix Jr., I don't know, maybe a third down, blindside blitz coming in that he deals with in the first quarter of a game tonight. Maybe something you come back to in week 10 and realize, oh, yeah, I remember seeing something like that from another team. Here's what we did. Or I checked down on that situation. Or Ray McLeod and I hooked up on something. Yeah, no, I don't. Listen, there's a chance you get injured, right?
If you play every day.
If you play 15 snaps, there's a chance you get injured.
Yes.
You're about to play 80 snaps in 2 weeks, right? So, like, whether you get injured on snap 24 of a regular season game or snap 9 of a preseason game, like, there's a chance you're going
to
get injured.
Or snap 4 of one-on-one pass rush in a practice, like what happened to the left tackle Rashawn Slater of the Los Angeles Chargers. There's always a chance.
You know, the notion, though, is more about your quarterback.
Sure.
Which, okay, don't play him. Well, nobody's saying play him a full game. There's no justification that is the smart move. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. You got a young quarterback. Last year it didn't work with Kirk Cousins. It took him, you know, he had to get the cobwebs out. Maybe it would have helped. Your chemistry with your offensive personnel, offensive linemen, wide receivers, tight end,
yes,
backs, your chemistry, your comfortability. It's all going to benefit from live snaps. Maybe you're going to say the live snaps are going to be against, Tennessee coming in?
Yeah.
So, but why is Joe Burrow, a league MVP, Super Bowl participant with the best receiver in the National Football League, why are they playing? Why is Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase playing, but Michael Penix Jr. and Drake London and, Mooney's out, so it'll be Ray McLeod.
And again, this isn't a normal thing for the Bengals. Joe Burrow's been in the league now for 5-6 years. This was his third ever career preseason start. It's week one. He's on the field for 15 plays. You can't tell me that that's not the coaching staff getting together and saying, we got to make a change to make sure that we're ready to go week one.
How does that not help you? I mean, guess what? If he gets injured, we got a really good backup that we're paying a ton of money to. Like, we hope that doesn't happen, but, like, that's the National Football League. I'm not saying play 70 plays into the fourth quarter with guys trying to block for you that are not professional football players. Nobody's saying that.
I mean, even my last year, 2017, like it was a given that the third preseason game, third of four, your entire starters on offense and defense were playing the first half and the first series of the second half.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to have the 4 minute and 2 minute right before halftime. You wanted to go through your halftime routine and you wanted to get them back in the swing of things after the halftime break. Now, obviously, there's only three preseason games, and I don't think starters play generally at all.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Let's do a quick 9 at 9. One of the better wins of the year for the Braves. They come from behind, not only get back-to-back home runs in the first inning. I think it was it Ozuna and Baldwin?
It was Ozuna and Baldwin, correct.
Then they go down 5-2 in an awful second inning. Was it Tarasco? Is that who was pitching last night? Carrasco. They come from behind. They're down four runs. Drake Baldwin has a ridiculous night. Five RBIs, two home runs, clutch hit, come from behind win. Over the Marlins, 8-6 winners last night.
Yeah, Braves win 8-6. Marcell Ozuna was 3-for-4. He had a home run and an RBI. Drake Baldwin, 3-for-5, two home runs, five RBIs, and stake. There's a little bit of chatter that he could potentially get some looks for Rookie of the Year
in the
National League.
Yeah, you want something to watch for the next month and a half? Drake Baldwin has a chance. There have been, I think, 10 Rookie of the Years in Braves history, or he would be the 10th. We'll let you know on that. But, yeah, something to talk about there. Anthony Richardson injured last night for Indianapolis.
Yeah, and there's three NFL preseason games tonight. Of course, right here on 92.9 The Game, 7 p.m., the Detroit Lions are taking on your Atlanta Falcons. The Browns are at the Panthers, and the Commanders are against the New England Patriots.
Golf-wise, anything to talk about?
FedEx St. Jude. It's the first week of the FedEx playoffs. Akshay Bhatia had a great round yesterday. He leads at 8 under par. This is the first of three playoff events. Of course, the regular season or the playoffs end at the end of the month right in our backyard at Eastlake Golf Club in Atlanta.
All right. When we come back, why aren't we playing our guys tonight in Mercedes-Benz? And by the way, not a bad idea to throw the fans a little bone as well. God knows they've been through enough.
Call in 404-726-0929. I want to hear what you think.
Give me one reason otherwise, or how ridiculous is this? How ridiculous is this? Just play your guys. Sports Radio 929. You got the Odyssey app. You want to follow us on social media. You do all that. We got a lot more videos coming up as the football season gets going. And I don't know, man. I want to talk to the listeners out there. We got some football tonight. Rusty Manziel and the least surprising text. It's the least surprising text that I'm going to get in the month of July or August, I should say. And that is that he stayed up till 1 in the morning to watch the final seconds of the 23-23 tie.
Between the Raiders and the Seahawks, that's correct.
Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't be surprised if he's watched the replay at 1:30 of the Bengals game. What was it, Bengals and Eagles?
And
Eagles?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rusty, I mean, he's not waiting for football season. It's here, right?
Yeah, football season starts for Rusty the day people show up to camp.
Yeah.
Like, not even when they're practicing.
So then, you know, we're talking about, you don't owe the Atlanta fans starters, but you could make a really good case that having Michael Penix Jr. out there makes a lot of sense.
Just for one drive.
Yeah. I mean, Burrow played a couple of drives, right? Bowers played a couple of drives. Geno Smith played. Anthony Richardson was playing. He has more games played. I think he got injured. Okay. You know, he didn't see the blitz coming. He got squashed. He learned a lesson.
Maybe. Dislocated his pinky. I would assume he's going to be okay.
So what are your thoughts as a fan, right? I'd be nervous watching Bijan Robinson, you know, with one of his jukey jukes and worrying about. But, okay, he's going to play 15 snaps. He's 3 weeks away from playing 70 snaps. Right. How many snaps does Bijan get a game? I don't know. But, listen, the one thing that was – interesting about Hard Knocks. I watched Hard Knocks last night, and we'll get to your phone calls. The Buffalo Bills. is I can't tell you how many times the guys on defense were told by their coaches, and they told each other, don't touch MVP. Don't touch MVP.
Don't even get into his radius.
And they're not frustrated. They're like, that's the ticket. Yeah. They love him.
Yeah.
They're like, that dude, Thurman Thomas on the sideline, and they're watching him just slinging it. And he's not only like such an alpha runner, right? You know, the way he can run the football, but his accuracy in passing is ridiculous. And the defensive guys are like, A, don't touch MVP. And number two, look at how he's balling out.
My first 5 weeks with the Arizona Cardinals in 2014, I was on the practice squad during the week, and they'd signed me to the game day roster on Friday. Bottom of the roster churn, some injuries were there. They said, Drew, you're going to be on the practice squad. So as a practice squad guy, I would have to play scout team defense, and I'd be a safety on the scout team. Stand in this area, walk over to this area, you know, move here depending on the play. So I was a safety. We're down in the red zone. Bruce Arians says, Drew, if you get within 5 yards of Larry Fitzgerald, I'm going to cut your ass so fast you'll have no idea what happened. I say, yes, sir. I'll stand right here.
As it should be.
Hey, absolutely.
Hey, Tay in Atlanta. Tay, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hello.
What's up, Tay?
Hey, man. I'm tripping on why we not letting Penix play.
Yeah.
Everybody else letting their people play. It was up until recently when they stopped with the three games and whatever. The team would come out the first week, they play two series. The second week, they play the first quarter. And like y'all said earlier, the first half would be that third week. Fourth week would be all the rookies and people trying to make the team. I don't see why we're not letting our people get in and get some continuity. But this is crazy, man. We looked like trash last year when we came out on that field.
Yeah, our offense against Pittsburgh was stuck in the mud. Kirk Cousins says it. He says it in Hard Knocks.
Yes, well,
he's just like, I didn't feel in the quarterback. I didn't feel right. The actual playing of quarterback live, it took me a while. Now, again, you could say next week he found it because they beat the Eagles. But
practice ain't going to give you that same adrenaline.
Yep.
You lost the game in week one last year, and your defense didn't give up a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. You lost the game in week one against the guy that would later be benched, which I think was Justin Fields who started, right? He didn't score a touchdown. It was Arthur Smith's offense.
Yeah, your former head coach was the offensive coordinator. You did not allow him to score a touchdown against you, and you lost the game.
Yeah, so you could argue that cost you the playoffs. Thank you for the phone call. Because unlike any other sport, one critical first week loss can affect your entire season.
Look at the Bengals, and look what they did last night.
Yeah. Let's get Wendy in Lawrenceville. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, Wendy, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I want to use the example of Kirby Smart. If he was our coach, the starters would be playing until the game was sealed. And then he would put in the second and third teamers. I think it's about instilling a winning culture. When you lose the first game, you lose the second game, you lose the third game, and then all of a sudden we're going to play the first game of the regular season, and we lose that one too. You're 0-4, and then you're expected to all of a sudden start winning? Like, when did winning not become important?
Well,
This doesn't matter. It all matters.
Well, I would argue, Wendy, that
hey, shout out Wendy.
I know, she's fired
fire,
up.
Passion, energy.
Kirby Smart is not playing.
Thank you, Wendy, for bringing it this morning.
Yeah. I know Wendy well. She's the best listener. She's a shout out to Jersey Mike's too. She runs a Jersey Mike's.
Fire, passion, and energy on
yeah,
Friday morning.
You don't care about winning the preseason games. I don't really care about that. I care that Michael Penix Jr. feels good and that something happened in those couple of games he played in preseason that him and his, whoever that is. Let me just say this. If you think there's not something to be gained by him looking at Kyle Pitts on a 3rd and 4 and looking at a coverage and giving him a little sign, and next thing you know, Kyle Pitts has it in space and is 20 yards downfield. If you don't think that helps build a mindset that maybe this is going to be a year for me, maybe Michael Penix Jr. and I are onto something.
Maybe I can trust Kyle Pitts.
Right.
Let me play devil's advocate. John Harbaugh in Baltimore, they had an NFL record. They were winning every preseason game. They made it a point We're going in to win. I don't care if you've never played an NFL snap before. We are here to win. When we line up, we want to win. Simple as that. I don't care if it's a scrimmage. I don't care if it's an exhibition. We are here to win. And guess what? The Ravens are a pretty damn good football team year in and year out.
That was one of the craziest stats. You wonder when Vegas. Now, last year it finally ended,
yeah,
right?
They didn't care last year.
How many years did they not lose a preseason game? Like 4 years in a row or three?
Do you
years?
Remember who beat them on a last second drive? It was on an ESPN broadcast. No. The Monday Night Football team was calling the game. It was the Ravens versus the Washington Commanders, and my buddy Jake Fromm had a last second drive. The Commanders beat the Ravens to end the streak. It felt like a playoff game in the preseason. It was awesome.
Yeah. Vegas didn't know what
even
to do.
Even Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were laughing in the booth. They were like, this is great.
404-726-0929. I just believe that Raheem is being stubborn. That he comes from a school of it's not necessary. Maybe it was a PTSD of watching a starter get hurt in a preseason game. But you have a quarterback that has played 3 games in the National Football League. How is he not going to benefit coming out of the tunnel? He's played 1 game. Two games. The Carolina game and the Raider and the game that they beat the Giants, I think it was.
So the Commanders ended the Ravens' record 24-game preseason win streak. This was in late August of 2023, and you talk about, hey, you don't necessarily owe anything to the fans, but it'd be great for the fans. After the game, Magic Johnson, co-owners of the Commanders, goes to Twitter and says, it's only preseason, but that was such a fun win. Happy for Commanders fans. You're talking about a preseason game.
And by the way, Commanders went on to have the best season of any rookie quarterback, of any team that had very little expectation, and damn near almost went to the Super Bowl. So does that mean that Jake Fromm's touchdown meant something? All it means is, you know, it was a winning energy. And I'm sorry, when the Falcons, you know, lose 23-3, and we've seen these preseason games, and look at last year's preseason opener, right? So there's no justification that I'm going to buy into that doesn't say that Kyle Pitts should be on the field tonight with Michael Penix Jr. on 1st and 10 at the 25 right out of the gate. Because guess who's going to be rushing him? NFL linemen. Michael Penix Jr. needs to be in front of NFL linemen. Brad and Kennesaw, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's going on, guys? Appreciate the time. I kind of agree with you more, man. I think it's weak. I think the coach is setting the I'm scared mentality to the team. It's like being an MMA, it's like being a fighter or a boxer and not wanting to spar someone else, just watching tape until fight time, you know? I think everyone needs
to get
their feet wet.
It's weak.
Yeah, it's weak. It's weak. It's definitely weak. And it's already showing his hand. He's already showing that he's scared. He's scared. You know, they're playing scared, man. It's pretty weak, man. I appreciate the time, guys. Talk to you later.
I think that's a great metaphor. It's like a boxer or fighter who doesn't want to spar before a match. That makes a lot of sense. And here's the thing, too. You can always adjust.
The guys rush.
You don't have to be stuck in your ways. You can always adjust.
Right. The guys rushing Michael Penix Jr. are NFL linemen. Not the guys in the third quarter, right? Not the guys blocking for you in the third quarter. But those guys are guys that you could learn something from. I'm going to check down. I'm going to do an inside handoff here because I see the way they're attacking me on the ends.
Yeah. I mean, hypothetically speaking, I would be fine if after 2 days of inter-squad scrimmage practices with the Titans, if Raheem Morris isn't happy, he says, you know what? I'm not happy. Guess what? Starters are playing.
Yeah. Let's get Mark in Buckhead. Hey, Mark, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Marco?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good morning.
I think that Raheem is trying to be buds with the players. You know, he calls them code names. He's not a leader. I mean, he doesn't instill confidence. You know, you look at John Harbaugh, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart. There's firmness in their face. They are getting after it. Raheem is like, half the time he's watching the video board to see what's going on. He's a nice enough guy. He's probably a decent coordinator, but he's not a leader of men. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. Hey, when we come back, it's 9:35 on Sports Radio 92.9. The Georgia roster on second look from Drew Butler and what he's hearing from Athens. Man, oh, man, there are a couple of guys that are getting ready to show out. that, frankly, we haven't talked about for a reason. And they could be the key to Georgia making a national championship run. Also, you in your car wondering, why aren't we playing Pennix? Why aren't we playing Pitts? Why aren't we trying to get better against live action? We'll take those calls, 404-726-0929. .941 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro. Drew Butler on a Friday morning. We'll buy or sell with Conti coming up later. And Drew, that's in the 10 o'clock hour.
It's been a while. I'm excited to get some buy or sell action going.
Yeah, I'm trying to piece together my final thoughts here.
I keep interrupting you, so I apologize.
Well, we're trying to share stories in the break. How do you feel about Billy Joel overall?
Yeah, I'm a big Billy Joel fan. Vienna, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, Moving Out.
Have you watched the documentary on HBO?
Just the Way You Are? I've watched bits and pieces. I've not sat down to dedicate the 12 hours. I mean, like, if it's on, I'll watch it, and then, you know, my kids and whatever. I got to get going.
So my daughter's leaving for college today, my oldest, Sophie. So she's a huge Billy Joel fan because she grew up with her dad, and, like, every, you know, Yankee from Boston or New York, right?
Of course.
We all grew up with the Billy Joel era, but the music really transcends eras, and she knows every Billy Joel song. So we watched. It's been 5.5-hour commitment, though. It's like 2:30 and 2:30, right? 2:40. Like, fascinating documentary. Me and Mike Bell were talking about it. It's funny. You talk about at Falcons camp. We're sitting there right in front of Michael Penix, and he's zimming around in Kyle Pitts. And me and him are like, yeah, you see the Billy Joel documentary? Like, we're like, you know, like Tyler Algiers almost ran us over. He's like, yeah, Christie Brinkley came across pretty good in that, right? that's the conversation we're having. But you talk about a guy that was not – now, he obviously cooperated 100% for this. What was great about the documentary, in no way, shape, or form was he – saying, I'll only do this if I have edit control and everything else.
Yeah.
All the blemishes, all the dark places that guy has gone, his absolute battle with alcoholism, which really has never been totally fixed, four marriages, the inner workings of everything in his career, how ripped he's been over the years for being soft in terms of his music, his major relationship issues. And then, like, him now, he's got, like, 2 5-year-old daughters. He's 76.
Oh, my goodness.
Sophie's like, what's going on with that? I go, Sophie, can you imagine in 16 years if I brought home a kid and I was like, this is your sister?
Oh, like, my
right?
goodness.
I mean, it was just like, she's like, what is that? He married a 21-year-old when he was in his late 50s.
Well, Mick Jagger's the same way. Jagger's got a young kid. He's like 80.
De Niro has one,
yeah.
And I think Pacino has one. Like, you want to talk about gravy train? These little 30-year-olds are like, dude, I've seen you. Billy Joel's barely getting around right now. That imagine Alexa
yeah,
Ray.
Yeah, but Vienna's a great song.
Alexa Ray's daughter. How do you think she feels to know that now that he got married again, I just got cut in fourths, right?
Oh.
He's got the two daughters and the new wife, right? So whatever was coming to me, literally, you just chopped into a fourth. It's a fascinating documentary about a tortured soul and his career and his life on the road. I recommend it. I watched that in Hard Knocks. I saw something on Awful Announcing. Has Hard Knocks gotten soft or just, I mean, listen, Josh Allen's a superstar. I enjoyed watching it. The whole thing was still entertaining to me. It's an easy 52-minute watch. That's what Hard Knocks always is.
Yeah.
It's an easy 52 minutes, man.
Entertaining, so, fun, gets the juices flowing
great
for football season.
Listen,
yeah.
If you're a great storyteller like the NFL networks are, then it's going to be entertaining. And you're going to find out stories, just like their number one pick, the corner that they drafted who got injured in camp. Forget what they call him, what the nickname is, but the moment of –
yeah. Maxwell Hairston?
Yeah, Super Max or some is what they call him. But, yeah, so he's their number one pick. Ran a under 4.4 at the combine.
Out of Kentucky.
Yeah, great storytelling across the board. So, yeah, a couple of things worth mentioning from last night. Hey, the 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, pressure washing at the highest level. Make sure you call your guys at Wise Guys Pro Wash. You want to talk more about why the Falcons and Raheem are being stubborn about this thing? got a quarterback that's only played three games in the National Football League, and they don't think he can benefit from starting him tonight or getting him out there with the ones for a couple of series? You mean like Joe Burrow, 9-for-10 last night, Ja'Marr Chase? Listen, Ja'Marr Chase, you want to talk about a reason to really be nervous. The quarterback can control somewhat if he's going to take a hit. I mean, he can decide in a preseason game, I'm getting rid of it that much earlier. Ja'Marr Chase is catching passes. What did he have, 4 catches last night, 70 yards, something like that?
4 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah. And the touchdown was crisp, too. I mean, great little out route. He turns it back inside, runs for 15 yards.
How would that not be helpful for Kyle Pitts? How would that not be helpful to have a crisp, beautiful, well-executed red zone play where Kyle Pitts catches it in the breadbasket on the back end of an end zone to say, I feel something? I feel like that is the kind of continuity that we're looking for. You're not going to convince me otherwise. You can sit here and tell me we have a philosophy. Everybody has different philosophy. You're not going to convince me otherwise. You want to talk about it? 404-726-0929. Want to do a little tailgate?
I would love to. Yeah, today marks the 1 week line of how long Georgia's been in training camp, and things are being reported both on the offensive and defensive sides of the football that guys are showing up, young guys are stepping up, and the coaches seem to be pretty happy. Let's start with the quarterback room. I was one that said I'm going to be really interested to hear what is being said about backup quarterback Ryan Puglisi as training camp progresses, and this comes from Dogs HQ. It sounds like back during the spring stake, people within the program were questioning kind of how Puglisi could manage the game, how he'd be able to operate the offense. That's what seemed to give Gunnar Stockton, of course, with the limited experience he had a year ago, the leg up as they enter into camp. Well, it's being reported that Puglisi does look good. However, Gunnar Stockton is still the man. His position is safe, and I really like this. They say Stockton is not your rah-rah type leader, but, quote, when Gunnar talks, people listen. I like to hear that. And Kirby pretty much said the same thing a week ago when he was on with us live in Athens.
Yeah, also talking to Drew Bobo, who was there with us, who is a stud center, right, for Georgia. They're like, he is the greatest dude, the most chill. But when he gets between the lines, dude, the level of intensity, as it has to be, as you are the point guy in a what they valued the Georgia program at a couple of $1 billion if it was valuing it as a franchise.
Sure.
And listen, you're surrounding him with every possible tool, elite offensive lineman, hopefully more depth at running back, which we haven't really had because of injuries the last few years, but a group of wide receivers, particularly one guy that supposedly is showing out right now that is kind of an afterthought based on since he showed up in Athens.
Yeah, that'd be Colby Young. He seems to be taking big-time advantage of his new opportunity at Georgia. Obviously, a year ago, he got caught up in some trouble after having a good start to the season and really being a key red zone threat for the Bulldogs offense. Offensive coordinator Mike Bobo, he spoke to the media earlier this week, and he said, quote, I've been extremely impressed with Colby, and he mentioned how grateful Colby seems to have this second opportunity at Georgia. So now you take a look at the wide receiver room. Colby Young, proven talent in the SEC, huge red zone threat. Zachariah Branch, 5-star recruit, transfer from Southern Cal. Noah Thomas, another big body, wide, long target who has SEC experience. That in and of itself is an elite room. We're not even talking about Dylan Bell.
Playmaker.
Playmaker.
Big playmaker.
Versatile. Experience.
Downfield threat.
Leadership. Out of the backfield, he has the ability to catch the ball as well.
Yeah, flip it to him coming out of the backfield and just open things up down the field.
You're not even talking about Oscar Delp and Lawson Lucky, who I saw.
What a tight end room that is.
I mean, I saw Lawson Lucky in this golf video that they posted on social media. This dude is massive.
Massive. Yeah,
going. So Georgia's going to have a lot of talent at the skill positions. It's all going to come down to, can Gunnar Stockton get them the football?
Yeah, their version of preseason is basically how many snaps are those guys going to see in the first two games, which is, what, Marshall and South Alabama? Is that what
Austin Peay.
Austin Peay, right. And Marshall?
Marshall's week one, correct.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is that Gunnar Stockton is going to go on the road in a hostile environment with north of 100,000 people. That's never happened to him before.
No. It is loud at Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, one of the all-time
baptism by fire, I believe, is what they call it.
And for Tennessee fans, they got the Syracuse game out of the gate here at the Mercedes-Benz. But for Tennessee fans to say, how good can we be this year? For Gunnar Stockton, you just have to, it's Jake Fromm style when he first started playing, just find a way to get dubs. Don't mess up. You're not going to be 24 or 33 for 285 and three touchdowns. Nobody's asking for that. Just get out of Knoxville with a dub and get ready, because Alabama will be coming to town not far after that.
I'm also really excited to see kind of the attitude of Georgia's defense this year, because they're always deep. They've always got talent across the board, no question about it. But when Glenn Schumann met with reporters, it seemed like there was a big emphasis on his edge players rushing the passer, Kristen Miller. Of course, you got K.J. Bolden locking down on the back end. But Elo Madozi, the transfer from Army, again, an experienced guy, a guy who can come in and be a leader for that defense. I want to see some fierceness of the Georgia Bulldogs defense getting after the quarterback to really put some fear in the play calling and game management of the opposing offense, is saying, we got to block these guys or else we're in for a long day.
You remember when last year, and even the year before, we played some Sisters of the Poor?
CJ Allen, too, man. Come on, dude. These guys have a lot of experience.
They played some Sisters of the Poor relative paycheck games at Sanford Stadium, and everybody was freaking out about, why are they moving the ball down the field on us? Why are a bunch of guys from UMass, or whatever? And there was all this notion that, listen, this is a bad sign. These are NFL players that are giving up 81-yard drives, right? And I think that would be part of what you're looking at with Marshall and Austin Peay is, can they absolutely dominate to a point where
just suffocate them?
But the reality was, and I remember thinking it, like, this is a bad sign. They can't even really physically dominate teams that are inferior. And then all of a sudden, you unleash them on a Saturday night in Austin, Texas.
And they just go bananas.
And you realize, like, dude, you can't worry about, no matter how full that stadium is, what happens against Austin Peay and what that says about our defense. Because I remember feeling like there's a lot of holes, and the next thing you know, you release Jalen Walker against Arch Manning and company in that game, and you're like, that's what you come to Georgia for.
Yep.
That's what it's about. That's what they're going to look like on the field against Tennessee. And that's what's so exciting is about five-star players on the road in an environment like Georgia's going to see in week three.
So we obviously touched on the ESPN-NFL business merger slash acquisition. And then that afternoon, we were on the air Wednesday morning, Roger Goodell went on ESPN for a kind of celebratory presser, call it that. And he teased the idea of red zone for college football. Would you be into that? Will it be happening?
Yeah, there's so many. First of all, why hasn't it happened earlier? It's probably because of the logistics of something like that. There's so many more games. What are the rights to all that? It's not like you have the rights, I don't think, to just, you know.
But to your point, when you're watching ESPN Plus on a Saturday, you know, these are Division III football games that are being broadcast on ESPN Plus.
Yes.
So you technically have the opportunity to aggregate all that content. Do you have access? I don't know.
Do you have access to Ohio State and Texas?
Probably not.
You
have to think like that. Or maybe there's a 90-second rule or something. I have no idea.
Yeah, I would not imagine that the Fox broadcast, the Fox
would even allow that.
Yeah, like the NFL set it up that even if you're CBS or NBC have to. I don't think that would happen, but it's a nice thought. Remember, Roger Goodell now owns 10% of ESPN. So he may be in a brainstorm with some of the muckety mucks and go, what do you think about this from a guy that's run the NFL? What do you think of this contract? You know, they're a 10% stakeholder in anything that happens at ESPN.
What did you think about his quote when they asked him about competing against the NBA and Major League Baseball? And he said, those are not our competitors. Our competitors are Google and Apple. That's what Roger Goodell said. Hold your horses.
That's drop the mic.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Adam Silver had a spit take. Yeah. What did he just say?
He said, I'm not worried about Adam Silver on Christmas
the
Day.
The preseason.
We got that.
The preseason game from, was there two nights ago?
Well, last week averaged more than
the NBA playoffs.
That's right. Hall of Fame game last Thursday.
The Hall of Fame game had a bigger audience by millions than the aggregate of the entire NBA playoffs. That's why Roger Goodell says our competition is Apple. How about that? Hey, have we got a rookie of the year emerging in Atlanta? Also, buy or sell with Mike Conley. And why ain't we playing our guys? Anybody in the car want to chat it up? Sports Radio 929.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's 10:04 on a Friday morning. Thanks so much for being with us, Steak and Drew Butler. We're excited. I didn't even let us get to the rejoin music. I'm excited. It's a Friday. I mean, I got zero plans this weekend.
Wow.
I've been and the whole
world is your oyster.
I mean, I've been traveling. I've been moving kids into school. I've been going to birthday parties overseas. I've got a beautiful, wonderful life, but I am looking forward to just, you know, getting knee deep, pun intended, in that show. What's it called? That everybody's talking about.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No. Wow, the show that Bo Morgan was talking about, streaming. It's like the soft. It's the Crazy Wives show on
Wife
Netflix,
Hunters,
right?
Or
Wife,
whatever.
Yeah.
You were the one telling me about that, I thought.
Dude, everybody's talking about that show. Or there's a show called Animal Kingdom on Netflix, or finish and watch The Bear, play a little
Bear.
Pickle.
What'd you think? Have you been watching The Bear?
I'm only 3 or 4 episodes in.
Okay.
Are you going to tell me that it's not?
No,
am I going to be disappointed?
Enjoy it.
I want to play a little pickle, play a little tennis, go grab a nice meal, be in Atlanta, go down to the Beltline,
yeah.
Go to Ponce, go to Krog.
Saw your burger review at New Realm. That looked pretty good.
Dude, the burger was sick. I had a smash burger at New Realm Brewery.
I like the accoutrement on it, the peppers,
jalapenos,
the cheese, the bacon.
If you haven't been to New Realm Brewing, it's ridiculous facility. Right smack at the Beltline. I met with a young lady this morning just to talk about career advice and everything else. All the cool kids live down on the Beltline.
Sure.
And they all, like, that whole scene down there, walk out of your apartment, there's 100 bars and restaurants, get a run in, go to one of those classes they have on the Beltline, go bar hopping, check out funky places. I was like, there's nothing cool about Sandy Springs. I know what we are. I love when people come up to me and say, Steak, what's the hottest, coolest restaurant? I was like, what do I know? I'm at the same 4 places. I'm at La Fonda. I'm at Super Rica. Like,
how's your Chinese place doing?
No, it's terrible. It's over. They sold it.
That is tragic.
I won't even mention the place. They sold it. The dark day, the Shapiro house.
That is tragic.
You want to talk about a sad day for a Jew?
Sorry to bring that up. I know.
That's everybody's going through something. But for Jewish people, when their favorite Chinese restaurant gets sold, for Jewish people, that is just it's traumatic.
And it sold to private equity for a big number. I heard.
No. Well, you know how that goes. Hey, last night. I don't know, one of the better wins of the year, Bo, would you say, for the Braves? I mean, they were left for dead, it looked like, for the most part.
It's a pretty exciting one. That's the kind of win that'll get people
at least
to the
fun
park.
At the ballpark, right? They scored first, like, every night, it seems like, and it doesn't matter. Last night, they had back-to-back homers in the first with Baldwin and Ozuna. And then next thing you know, you look up, it's 5-2. You're like, well, that didn't last but a second. And then Drake Baldwin, who is slowly making a case, and by the way, he will have plenty of time over the next 6 weeks to go out and try to win Rookie of the Year in the National League. And in a season where we are looking for bright spots, and to think about the overall 30,000-feet picture of the Braves and decisions to be made on guys in that roster and how to go upgrade certain positions,
sure,
figure stuff out, it's good to know that, you know, listen, the Drake Baldwin is everything advertised when we were down at spring training or talking about him at spring training.
Dysfunction's too harsh of a word because it's not that. The attrition that the Atlanta Braves have had to deal with this season are of epic proportions.
Yes.
And obviously, it's very disappointing for Braves fans. clearly there will be some moves made. We will wait to see what they are after the season. But in kind of letting the dust settle, I would have to give Alex Anthopoulos a little bit of grace for him to look at the big picture and say, there's no need to get desperate. We don't need to clean house. We don't need to get rid of all the things that we've built up to this point. Yes, Drake Baldwin is a bright spot in a very gloomy season so far. Now the focus goes to what do the Braves do in the offseason? How do they continue to manage that roster? Because everything is not broken. The things that have happened are out of their control. So you know what? You chalk this season up and you say, let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, blank happens, right? And for the Braves,
exactly.
Blank happened all at once. They weren't very good before. They absolutely came unglued with injuries, and they're going to have to talk about roster building. Terry McGuirk was in front of the shareholders. I don't know if you heard this, where the shareholders, and a lot of them, you know, you can buy stock in the Braves, raised his hand and said, why didn't you make any moves at the trade deadline? There was that conversation that you'll spend to do. He said, we have two priorities, building our roster to upgrade it, and we'll spend money in that direction, or making moves to look to the future. There was nothing out there that we felt was worthy of us moving forward, but we will spend if necessary. You know the ongoing conversation. You're making all that money on your real estate. The Battery has been a grand slam home run in every definition of the word. Are you going to take the resources? Are you going to take the additional revenue and EBITDA that exists and go say, we will play with the big boys and add to our payroll? That's a fair question.
Sure.
It's not what Alex Anthopoulos decides on, and he's always going to be the company man. But will there be a splash move in the offseason to say, what just happened? We cannot put our fans through. And again, what just happened is the loss of Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez and Spencer Schwellenbach, and one moment after another that you just have to look and go, well, I mean, who survives all that at once? And A.J. Smith-Sarver and Grant Holmes and, you know, trying to get Spencer Strider right. I mean, how much can one organization? It's not Alex Anthopoulos' problem that Jerickson Profar has been a disaster, right? You could argue the shortstop, they should have been, you know, planning better than what happened there. And, you know, Michael Harris obviously, you know, crushed them the first half of the season with how anemic he was. And that guys offensively were not at their numbers. You look at the back of the baseball card and you go, well, these guys will be fine. It just didn't happen. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be the more interesting. This was the least interesting offseason in Braves history. They did nothing.
Yeah.
They essentially did not.
They liked what they had.
They played with the bullpen. They brought Jerickson Profar. They said, we'll fix that position. Jared Kelnick, you know, is not going to be a factor. Matter of fact, last few preseasons. Although Chris Sale obviously comes 2 years ago, which was a big deal. So, whatever. Good win last night, Drake Bowen in the hunt for Rookie of the Year.
Okay, so the gem of this upcoming free agent class is Kyle Tucker, right fielder with the Cubs. He's having a great year. Don't know if that fits what the Braves need. He's a right fielder.
Right.
Zach Gallen is an available right-handed pitcher. Ranger Suarez is an available left-handed pitcher.
Is Kyle Schwarber not up? Dude, Kyle Schwarber is such
Kyle
a friggin'
Schwarber
beast.
Is up.
Dude, look at his numbers for a second. Kyle Schwarber is a beast. He is, all that guy does is rake.
He, from 2022 to 2024, Schwarber has the third most homers, 131, and also the third most walks, 318.
That's why
the dude gets
off,
on base.
That's why bats lead off.
Yeah.
Dude, he is an absolute baller, okay?
He would be a great.
Oh, dude, I love Kyle Schwarber.
Those Braves Schwarber jerseys would fly off the shelves.
I don't know how the Phillies can let. Red Sox had him and let him go. They still talk about that. Philly fans don't want to let him go. So that's an interesting name as well. Yeah, I mean, like,
Pete Alonso could opt out. Cody Bellinger could opt out. Jock Peterson could opt out. Alex Bregman could opt out.
Did you see Jock Peterson's numbers until the other night? Jock Peterson has some of the worst. They also were making fun of, like, he looks 20 pounds heavier than when he won a World Series here. Have you seen him, Bo, at all?
Edwin Diaz could opt out.
Dude,
the Mets closer.
Jock Peterson has been on the Atlanta Eats diet, just finding big old sandwiches all over town. Like, I start to review some of those meals. Like yesterday, that massive smash burger I had. But that's what Jock Peterson looks like right now. We talked earlier. We're going to plan back by buy or sell. But my co-host here is distracted for a second because it's coming back up again as he's watching some of the NFL Network that the Cincinnati Bengals went out last night and Joe Burrow sending a message to the AFC, sending a message to Cincinnati fans. What happened last year is 100% unacceptable.
Yeah, they're sending a message. We're here to play. Joe Burrow knows that with the talent that he has around him, that core does not stick around forever. And when you're watching Ja'Marr Chase go out there and just cook the Eagles' DBs, four catches, 77 yards, a crispy touchdown, Joe Burrow dealing 15 plays in his third ever career preseason start.
You do not make decisions for fans. You do not make decisions for hype and PR. But I could make an argument that if the Penix, Drake, Bijan, you know, Kyle thing is 50-50, right? Let's just say that there was some thought in the building that maybe we should play those guys. That if I'm Arthur Blank, I might say, you know what would be really good for us is to be in our building and let our fans see our ones do something, all right? Because when you're 7 years out of the playoffs, I would just say if all things are being equal, play your friggin' starters. Do something to get people hyped for the Tampa game and forget about your old school way of looking at things.
Since 2019, when Zach Taylor became the head coach, the Bengals are 4-13-1 in weeks 1-3. They said, we're done with that. Starters, you're playing. We're getting reps and we're hitting the ground running in week
that,
one.
How could that not help Kyle Pitts, Michael Penix, Drake London? Is he top 3-4 receiver in the NFL? He has played 3 whopping games with Michael Penix. 3. Do you know how many games Julio Jones played with Matt Ryan or Roddy White did? How many hundreds of games they had together? Why would that not help tonight to at least get them some snaps? So I don't want to – listen, I know you're listening all different times, so I will belabor it. That's our job on this here. But, like, do that for your fans. All Arthur should be like – the right thing to do. I don't like how you started last year. You got a young quarterback. I'm going to ask you, coach, rethink this policy. Rethink this policy. I'm your boss.
Yeah.
Rethink it.
Hey, what do you always say makes a great broadcaster? Entertaining, self-deprecating.
Good storytelling, funny, yes.
Manti Te'o, because they're talking about it on Good Morning Football right now. Lower third, right? Whenever you're a former player, they bring it up. What are your accreditations to be talking to me about football? Manti Te'o.
Heisman Trophy finalist.
It said 8 seasons in the NFL. It said Polynesian Football Hall of Fame. And then the last one was, quote, I do not Google myself. Manti Te'o, fake girlfriend.
Yeah, no, I know. I watched the doc.
Love it.
That's what it says out there.
Yes, I do not Google myself.
Hey, when we come back, buy or sell. I wrote a good one today. Mike Conti and Drew Butler on the hot seat. And take your calls, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Should the Falcons be playing their guys tonight in the first quarter? Bye. It's a Friday in the great city of Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, a dominating time of year. Well, every year is dominating for us, but we got Mike Conti here as our program manager, right? He's our program manager. Is there another term? VP of programming?
VP, I wish. Yeah. Brand manager.
Brand manager. Yeah. You're the brand manager is what you are, my friend. Follow us on social media. We got a lot of great stuff coming up as well. I imagine we'll get some posts. Game reaction on social tonight on 92.9, right?
No doubt about it. Joe Patrick covering the game for us tonight, along with, you know, the whole crew, Wes and Dave. And
immediate reaction on our brand.
Yeah, and don't forget, you know, we're taking calls till 2 in the morning, you know, so.
Who's sitting here till 2 in the morning?
Chris Turtle Thomas will be here doing the Falcons flyover.
I enjoy his listen at night. There's something about having that many hours. He's in no hurry. Sometimes you hear me, I sound almost like I'm in a hurry because I got the fastest 2 hours in radio. He's just kind of a sing-song, relaxed, like we're going to hang out for 4 hours, yeah. Or however, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's kind of quirky, which I like, you know.
Quirky's a good word.
Right.
He's got an interesting perspective because he's from the Northeast. It's definitely a much more aggressive style of sports talk that you hear up there compared to down here.
Well, in terms of the content of what he's saying, but he says it like so low key.
Yeah,
the way
he because he's kind of like that. He's a very even Steven guy. You know, you don't see him really get that emotional.
And he's like, all of a sudden those salvos are going, and he does it so nicely. You don't even know what just happened.
Yeah.
Right? Did you hear what Drew said before the break when they asked Roger Goodell about what was the NBA and Major League Baseball?
Yeah, who are your competitors?
He said Apple and Google.
Yeah.
He did. Roger Goodell, God bless, man.
I don't think the NFL has to worry.
I think it's very fair to say that when their Hall of Fame game does millions more than the NBA playoffs, that they're in a different category.
Without question.
They are a behemoth.
Yeah.
The only thing close would be, I don't know, Premier League stuff, right?
Worldwide, yeah, maybe. I think the commissioners that need to worry in North America are Rob Manfred and Gary Bettman. You know, football is always going to dominate, and for the foreseeable future, be our national pastime.
I would argue Gary Bettman, they're in a fine place. They are where they are.
They are what they are. Yeah, that's true.
It's Rob Manfred.
Yeah, baseball is going to get sticky here when that collective bargaining agreement goes up, because I think you could really see the players going
on
strike.
Well, and it's already, and their TV revenue is already being negatively impacted because one of their largest rights holders went all in on the NBA.
That's right.
So now they're trying to pay less for Sunday Night Baseball. And ESPN makes a good argument. Well, wait a minute. You're letting Roku do the Sunday afternoon package for pennies on the dollar. And I think there's a very real chance that Major League Baseball could come out flat or even down a little bit on TV revenue in their next round of TV contracts, where the NFL can dissolve their TV contracts in 2027 and probably get twice to three times as much as what they're already
getting. Well, because the value of live NFL football with everything else going by the wayside. Think about the way they put that out there, that the offer that ESPN provided Major League Baseball was around $200 million to have, if you want to keep a relationship, of which they, of course, had to say no. And the WWE was $320 million. So they told you, we value them more than 50% more than we value baseball.
Well, they've got all the data. ESPN has the data. People do not watch baseball, folks tune into wrestling.
Sorry to interrupt you. I can tell you anecdotally, but I'm pretty confident, 18 to 34-year-old men watch wrestling way more than they watch baseball.
Of course.
I think the amount of men 18 to 34 watching a full nine-inning baseball game compared to watching a full broadcast of SummerSlam would be a very disturbing ratio.
Yeah, not even close.
For Major League Baseball.
I mean, Bo is a huge baseball fan, but... And you will watch 3 hours of baseball, but you 100%. Are – how old are you?
WWE is a more entertaining product. I'm 48.
Yeah, it's nothing but entertainment.
Yeah.
Our only job here is to not take ourselves seriously, provide entertainment, have kids like Bobby Shapiro talk about you just the way they talk about –
That's right.
Just the way they talk about, you know, Dana White, right?
Yeah.
And UFC – like, that's built on entertainment. Joe Rogan there, that's built on entertainment. WWE, built on entertainment. You know, Rob Manfred did everything he had to do by shortening the game, the most important thing they've ever done. But I, for a guy that watched, I could sit and watch a three-hour game as a 12-year-old. I didn't have a lot of other options, and that's a different era. We got three strike. Very important buy or sell. Very important. I slaved over this. Mike Conti is here. Drew Butler is here. Let's do this. Kirk Cousins is an Atlanta Falcon on week 17 of the season. Drew, buy or sell? Kirk Cousins is a Falcon week 17 of this season.
As of August 8th, I'll buy.
Yeah, I think it's trending in that direction. I'll buy it too.
Yeah, I mean, we could have asked that question. Would he be here for opening day? We know he's going to do that. And ballpark peanuts are far too messy. Plastic bag, you got to, you know, it lasts you a lot of innings, but you know what I'm talking about? The big bag of ballpark peanuts? Are they too messy? By yourself.
This is going to sound awful for me to say, but because someone else is cleaning it up for me, I will sell that.
Yeah, sell. That's what they're there for. You make the mess.
It's all over me sometimes.
Of course.
It's
brush it off.
But I like, it's kind
of
like.
Not all of us go to baseball games rocking a suit like you do.
It's kind of like crawfish in New Orleans. The process is long and arduous. But there's something about sitting there and not finishing so quickly, right?
Mm-hmm. The juice is worth the squeeze.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The Braves will most likely be out of the postseason next year as well. If you had to bet right now, the Braves will be out of the postseason next year.
I think that they will make the necessary moves in the postseason or offseason, so I will sell. They're going to be back.
Braves will be out of the postseason as well.
Totally agree with Drew. I'll sell that.
Wow. For a team that is 20 games under 500, almost. Michigan fans are the most condescending in the Big Ten. Buy or sell. Michigan fans are the most condescending. Buy or sell.
The word you used is condescending. I will buy. But they're not the most annoying.
That's the Buckeyes?
That's Ohio State.
I know a few Ohio State fans, and they are insufferable. So I will say sell to Michigan.
I think
I'll go with the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I think Michigan is equally annoying, but the elite of the
Michigan
school.
Michigan men, Michigan this, Michigan that.
The Raiders under Pete Carroll are easy to root for. Buy or sell?
Buy. I'm a huge Pete Carroll fan.
That's a good one. I'll buy that. I like Pete Carroll, too.
Would rather have an Uber ride with no driver. I talked about it earlier. My friend got two Waymo rides coming home the other night. Would rather have an Uber driver or an Uber ride with no driver.
Yeah, when I was out at the Fiesta Bowl in December, Waymos were all over Phoenix. We took them nonstop, and I loved it. Didn't have to make conversation with the driver. They're beautiful cars. They're Jaguars.
Clean.
Felt safe nice. The whole time. Bye. Heartily.
You know, I think for the 45-minute and under rides, when you're kind of bouncing around town, definitely buy. Longer rides, I'll take a driver.
They won't do long distance, by the
there
way.
There you go. Thank yeah. you.
Fettuccine Alfredo is for amateurs. Buy or sell?
Buy.
Buy. It's an appalling dish for me as an Italian. Appalling.
It's a lot of slop.
Yeah, and even it's not authentic to anything.
Has it been replaced by cacio e pepe? Do you at least respect the cacio?
Oh, I love cacio e pepe.
Right.
But that's not Alfredo.
No, I know. I'm just curious if you replaced it. Very pumped for the redo of The Office called The Paper. The preview dropped this week. Very excited for it. Buy or sell.
Never got into The Office.
I do love The Office. I'll sell on The Paper.
This band is cool. This band is cool. Buy or sell. ABBA. Buy or sell is cool.
Sell.
I don't mind them. I'll buy.
How many parties are you going to walk in where this is playing and you're not going to have people kind of bouncing?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, of course.
It's always upbeat and positive.
It's campy. That's why it's cool. It's campy. How about this guy? Shane Gillis. Buy or sell? Shane Gillis.
I'll buy. I know people were hanging, ringing over the ESPYs. I thought he was
in
funny.
General, I'll though, buy. Shane Gillis is hot as it gets.
Yeah,
right
big
now.
Time buy. Saw him live at Saturday Night Live with my wife back in the spring. Oh. He is right down home plate for my type of comedy.
Dodgers will win the World Series. Even money bet. Buy or sell? Dodgers are going to win it this year.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Even money. Buy or sell?
Sell. I think this is the Brewers here.
You're taking the field.
Yeah, absolutely the field. Yeah.
The Milwaukee Brewers get their first title
I
all
think
time.
They're finally going to do it.
The Hawks will play in the Eastern Conference semifinals. The Hawks will go to the semis. That means they're in. That means they win a series. I know you're the voice of the Hawks with Steve Ullman.
That means that Porzingis probably plays at least 60 games, prays a happy camper, everything goes right. I'm selling because I just don't know if everything can go right.
That is a lot. But the Hawks are in the second round of the playoffs. They win their first series. Buy or sell?
I'll sell. You got to show it to me. I'll sell.
The Ryder Cup is a top five television event. Buy or sell?
Total buy. I absolutely love it. This weekend specifically, same weekend, Alabama comes to town to take on Georgia. Last weekend of September.
Where is it?
It's up in New York at Bethpage Black. Yeah. It's going to be raucous.
Top
I'll buy.
Five TV event.
Only if it's close on Sunday. Buy. When it's close on Sunday, nothing better.
Right.
When it's over the on Saturday.
The chicken cheesesteak is a silly concept. The chicken
cheesesteak. Oh, no, sell. I love chicken cheesesteaks. I think they're terrific.
Now, is that also a chopped cheese? Like it's a New York-style chicken cheesesteak? I mean, I'll sell.
It's like go to Fred's Meat and Bread. Instead of these, replace the steak with chicken. That's all they're doing.
Sell.
Chicken cheese. This is a Philly guy. I just said yes. The best date night is a concert. The best date night is a concert. My wife, I got tickets to Teddy Swims 3 months ago.
Wow.
I've never got more juice from the little lady that I actually know it's her favorite guy, and I went. But regardless of all that, because you know it's never about me, and it, you know I never want to talk about myself. But is the concert the best date night by herself?
That's a tough question. Yep. Depending on who the act is.
Dude, please. The question's the question.
Sell.
The concert's the best thing. I buy or sell.
In my marriage, it's buy all the way. It's now, for a first date or something early in the relationship, maybe not, because you can't talk to each other.
Right.
But in my marriage.
Concert is the best date night.
My wife loves
what's ahead
concerts.
Of a concert for you? Just a nice dinner?
Love why a nice so, dinner. Love a so good comedy show.
There? Why are you so torn over there?
We'll go to the Fox Theater.
All right. Listen. Thanks, Bo. We got to go to break. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
That's buy or sell on Sports Radio 929.
That's a good concert, too.
It's
got so many props. My wife is a
twin daughter. It's Drew Butler and Steak Shapiro.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Gonna be here Monday. Are we hanging out on Monday?
I think that's the plan.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. On this show, it's like,
but you know what? It works.
I hope. I don't know. Do you listen?
People like, tune in. They want to know who's next to Stakey.
Did you hear Mikey yesterday? Mike Johnson.
I did.
He's a breath of fresh air. Not that you're not, but and Rusty. I don't know. Rusty. The Rusty gotten so big. He's on the SEC Network today.
Yeah, this morning he was on with Dari Noka and Chris Doering on the SEC Network, Dogs HQ.
How long before we hear that Rusty has moved on to greener pastures? I don't even know if I can give you guys the day, the one day a week. I mean, you have to feel it coming, right? He's like a runaway train.
I heard VH1 spinning back up, and he might be like their midday show guy. Rusty rocks 5 days a week.
Listen, everything he touches lately. Feinbaum's talking about him, doing SEC Network. He's all over Fox, DJ Shockley and him. He's nice enough to give us a little, but he is like a locomotive. You cannot slow down, you know?
He was telling me about his schedule that starts really
and then all
in
the
a forceful
games.
Way next week, and it's aggressive.
The Corky Kell, right?
And it does not stop past that. It is aggressive.
Yeah.
But that's what he does, man.
It's a lot. It's like he tells his sweet, beautiful lady, his great wife.
To whom much is given, much is required.
It's like, how do you think I'm going to pay for all those weddings, baby doll? Right? You need to
amen.
What you need to do is let the big man watch his game. So
amen.
Move along.
Yeah.
He has his office upstairs. What would Jackie say if she came to and you just go, listen, the big man right now needs to focus and you need to run along, darling.
Like, what does Sandra say? That's cute.
Yeah, it's adorable.
That's adorable.
Yeah. If I told my wife.
No, Jackie's been great. She is extremely supportive
I know.
Of my endeavors.
She has that energy just seeing her. Those are some
She's
great,
built for it.
Those are some great photos we took.
Yeah, we loved having her out at training camp. It was special
with
seeing
your girls.
Her and the girls come up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I almost posted a picture of you, me with your girls, and it's like, it's not really for me to do. I can't. It's not for me to post somebody else's children. But anyway, speaking of my children.
They love Stakey. They brought you paintings. They
I
made
know,
gifts
I have them in
you.
My briefcase.
There you go.
I have them. Speaking of my girls, both gone official today. Sophie's off to Georgia. She's in Athens. They're having a mommy lunch because one of her best friend's mom's in town. So they're having lunch. And then they're headed to Athens. I was off yesterday. So it was not a good day. Business, you know, was stressed out. My daughter then walked around the house, two bedrooms now empty, Sophie's bedroom all packed up, Nola's. I told Bobby, I think I said this yesterday, I said, bro, you are every ounce of mom's attention and worry and mommy-ness is now a direct hit to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he is in the
dude,
bullseye.
Dude, he's,
he is he, in
dude,
the bullseye.
I could not describe it better. He told me yesterday when I picked him up at soccer, he's like, I'm spending my, because he got a buddy that lives down the street with two brothers, right? So his buddy Finn, and then Finn's got an older brother, and they got a younger brother, and they're all he's always at their house, and he's like, I don't care, Dad. You won't even see me. I was like, what do you mean I'm not going to see? He goes,
Finn.
I'm going to be at Finn. I'm going to be at Finn's house. My best
Finn Flanagan, Finn Sullivan, Finn O'Leary,
Finneris, I think Finian or something. Yeah. I was like, bro, you think that your mom is going to let you literally not be seen for like I'm in high school.
Good luck with that.
He starts high school. I'm in high school. High school's built to never be home. That's why they schedule it the way he does. I was like, I don't even know what that means. That's how they schedule.
We're gonna need to work on that sales pitch.
I was gonna say, if you think mommy now with both girls gone is gonna let you spend your life at Finn's house, you better find it. He's like, it's more fun. It's all boys over there. I was like, well, mommy's got you exactly what you just said, Drew. You are in the bullseye. There's a tornado coming for you, Bobby, and that tornado is Miss Kimberly, and you better have your P's and Q's because now the girls are not around for mommy to like, you know, have to handle them.
I'll just tell Bobby this: honesty is the best policy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good angle, I guess, right?
Just tell her. I'm at Finn's house. Deal with it.
I just called up my four favorite bartenders in town. Your response should be four. That sounds a little light.
No,
that sounds a little light. I said, Uncle Steak, he's gonna be there a little more often.
Four of your favorite Friday bartenders.
Four within one block of in Buckhead.
Yes, yes.
Within a five.
It rotates depending on the day.
What town are you speaking of? What is the perfect date night? These are three strikes questions. What is the perfect date night? Will Michael Penix live up to the hype? Very simple question. I'm talking about this year. So whatever, don't say what's the hype. Don't ask me that. Will he live up to the hype? And it's Saturday night, big boys' night out, or absolutely all alone at the crib, which you taking? Big boys' night out, or absolutely alone? No wifey,
wow.
No kiddos, no distraction, nope, no mother-in-law, no but nothing. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. 10 o'clock hours brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. It's all that you need, baby. It's pressure washing at the highest level. Also, the big game of the night, Falcons preseason. You know what the spread is on that game? Usually, Sandra asks me. No, don't look. Don't look. You already look?
I mean, I'm gonna guess Falcons -3. I have no idea.
We're playing Detroit. I'm going to say Detroit by 2. Because they know Falcons aren't playing their starters. That's already out there. So I'm just going to look.
And the Lions played last week in the Hall of Fame game.
Lions 3.5. I said 2. So Lions a 3.5-point favorite.
I need to get into my in-season form.
The over-under is 33. Do you know what it was on those other games? It was almost 40 because they had announced they would play their starters. I think the notion is, knowing that Cousins and Penix are not playing, that you can't get any lower than 33 for an NFL game. I think the notion is the Falcons will not score in this game. Like, I mean, if you think about why that number is, think how many reps Brock Bowers was out there last night. Geno Smith was out there last night. Joe Burrow was out there last night. Jamar Chase. Like, you knew you had some points that would be put on the board. Here, 33.5 is the over-under on that. Our big game of the night, the debut, our 11th season of Atlanta Falcons football is happening. So be listening. You know, Bo Morgan's got a new gig doing the pregame. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. I heard that this morning when I was driving in.
And then Mike Johnson doing the pre and the post. So there's a lot going on. A lot going on.
The best date night? Will Michael Penix Jr. live up to the hype this season? And it's Saturday night. Are you taking a big boys' night out, or are you alone at your house? 404-726-0929.
Grant McCauley, by the way, makes his debut.
Wow.
His NFL debut tonight.
Okay.
Grant McCauley handling the post game with Mike Johnson. Shows you diversity. Allie married him for a reason, and it's his diversity.
I would just tell Grant he's going to have a little bit of a different demo when you're talking about Falcons versus Braves.
You want to see him just get a little more aggressive? You want to see him a little more, like, what's the big? Yeah, I mean, baseball's a slower conversation.
Sure.
I'm going to get him hyped a little bit. So, Grant McCauley tonight on the post game.
Well, you know, this could be, we said it earlier, baptism by fire. If it is not a pretty product that the Falcons trot out there, and I'm not sure many fans are expecting it not to be, you could have some fired up fans calling in tonight.
And remember,
and it's Friday
Chris
night.
Chris Thomas is going till 2 a.m. tonight.
This is not a Sunday night where folks have to get up in the morning and go to work. It is a Friday night.
All right, let's take our three strikes. Bobby in Roswell. How you doing, Bobby?
Great. How are you today, sir?
Thank you so much for calling. What's the perfect date night?
Perfect date night. I'd say dinner and a movie and some quiet time at the house.
Will Michael Penix live up to the hype?
Absolutely. He's going to be slinging some bullets this season.
And big night out with the boys or all alone at the crib? What are you taking?
I'm going to go big night out with the boys, man. You got to make it happen when we can.
How old are you?
41.
Good for you. That's a good number to go out and run around and have some fun. Hey, Grant in Atlanta. Grant, what's the perfect date night?
Perfect date night? Picnic out under the stars, a little home-cooked meal.
Wow.
Romantic.
There's a lot of women listening.
Call me a romantic.
I like that, buddy. Hey, is Michael Penix going to live up to the hype?
I think so. As long as he can keep his composure under pressure and just be dealing the ball out, I think we got a season ahead of us, boys.
Big boys night out or absolutely all alone at the crib? What are you taking?
Wife and kids gone?
Yeah.
We're going out. We're going hard on the town.
Yeah, you got to cash those checks
how
in when
How old
can.
Are you?
Just turned 30 on Monday. Wow. Actually.
Love it. Listen, if he said otherwise, when he's got wife and kids and he's not looking for a night, thank you, buddy. Here's – got to turn that radio down, though. Tinker in Kennesaw. How you been, dog?
Doing good. Doing real good.
What's the perfect date night? You at home with the piggies? If you don't know, Tinker has pet pigs, so if you don't know
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha.
Tinker, what do you got?
Either her favorite restaurant or, believe it or not, she loves to go fishing.
What's her favorite restaurant right now?
Frankie's.
Frankie's okay. In Duluth. Great spot.
She's a fancy one, your lady. Will Michael Penix live up to the hype?
Negative.
And big boys night out or absolutely alone at the crib? What are you taking?
Just like him other fellas. You know, everybody's got their families and the kids, so you get that chance, you go out with the fellas, and you blow it up.
I like to see our audience still focused on that. Thank you.
You have to take advantage of the opportunities you're given. That right there is a prime opportunity
to where you get the crew together. I'm going to tell you that north of 50, like the peace and quiet.
Well, we're not there yet.
Well, I'm there.
Okay.
So...
I know your answer. I have my answer.
I've had enough big nights out. I need less nights out. Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Drew. Andy and Randy are up next. We will be on Monday talking all kinds of NFL.
Absolutely.
Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.